This is Tuesday, September the 24th, 2002, and we're recording this with Orville Hughes, and we're talking about the history of the southern part of the township of West Wilmbury.
Okay, we're away, Orville. Just disregard this.
The school was Whitby Park, they had not a lot there. Well, then years ago, they wanted bigger playground, so they bought an acre off my uncle behind the nuts boundary of the last house there. Then there was between the church and the school, there was a shed, tie their horses up when they came to church and that. And there was a woodshed on the one end, on the north end, where the people would donate trees and we'd have a bee and cross-cut saws, a couple of two or three teams of horses. All the way in for the church shed there. Then two big box stoves in each corner of the back corner of the church. And we'd take turns coming up Sunday morning and get these big box stoves fired up for church. Herman Harvey at the time, I guess it'd be in 1960, we went to Central School, and Herman Harvey bought the school. Tore it down between the church and the highway on the white 27 there, the church and the highway ideally we acquired the land right there.
So the school lot actually went down to
right down to
the fourth line.
The shed formed east part of the school yard down the back.
What became of the shed?
I don't know whether Central or Mills has got it. I don't remember what happened to Shed. Mills has got some of the stuff, I know.
And where was the post office?
Across the corner where that white house is in there. It was 33 or a couple older houses there. My grandfather, Jimmy Walker, lived on the corner there on 50th Farm. I'm not sure whether it was ever donated the land for the church and the school, miles of 50 acres. One time this was called Corbett's Corners, originally, and then they came and they didn't care. But the story goes that old fellow was cutting a tree down and it fell and killed him. Corbett was his name. They always said he was buried under the church there, but then found the one that took the base. Yes, and then they kept it pretty quiet. As I said, there was a post office there, and they would bring the mail in a big bag and dump it off the post office there, and then the little rubber would sort the mail and they would pick it up.
Do you remember when there was a Duncan post office?
No.
So that would.
I remember when there was a house there and people lived there. My uncles used to tell the story that people lived in the houses there. But when they were kids going to school here, this, forget what they called the old lady, but anyway, she had a bunch of ducks. He used to tell the story about the kids putting crests on the strings, tied them all together, and then threw them out. These ducks, the old lady grabbed with the scissors, cut the string to let the ducks go. I don't know whether it's right or not, but
well, it makes a good story.
Yep.
This was what they called a union school with Tecumseh.
No, this is number one West Wilmbury.
Number one West Wilmbury.
Yep. That's what buried it up. This was number one, and then this was on the corner of where Harry Sony lived, Fred Thompson. That was two, and then it was burnt. And Scott Settlement's three, I think, and that's, they go that way all the way up. Well, in this corner, there was, used to be a house, too.
You're talking here now about the southwest corner.
Yeah, gas station and stuff there. Well, just up here is the Quaker Cemetery, and some of my ancestors and Quakers are buried in there, you said.
They came from what?
Pennsylvania.
Leo Paxton, did he, where did Leo come from?
Leo was in here, and he was there too. Leo lived here, because they had a little booth there, and we used to come play ball. And we'd all end up there for pop after the ball game. Well, then Leo moved from, he had run the grass across there then. That's where he finished up in the grass there.
Talking about ball, do you remember a ball league that involved the Newton Robinson team and the Scott Settlement team?
We used to play with we played more with Shaman. There used to be a team down at Luton called 50th Street. We used to play with them, Bill Perry and a bunch of those lads of Oak Boys. I don't remember too much. I never played in the big league because I used to play in the ball league, and we used to play with school on the court in the 6th there, Gordon Dayton, gang like that. But we were never much involved with the tunnel rooms at that time. I was quite a piece of way back those years.
I'm going through the Bradford paper. I got this big one. I've got it in the file. I don't forget what year it was now, but it was in the 30s. But anyway, it showed, which doesn't seem very long ago, does it? But they had a standing for the, I think it was about six or seven teams in South Central. There was the Fennels and Newtown.
Yeah.
And the Scott Settlement. So I was asking Murray, if Murray Ferris, did you play on the ball team? Oh, I remember, but I never played. So I just wondered.
Little Burton, I know, he taught here for years. Ken Ellison used to work for Wally Webb up here. He was a pitcher.
Over this hill behind us here in a hurry. So was this the original Hughes homestead?
Oh, it's the Walker homestead.
Oh,
this
Walker.
Is my mother.
Okay.
Downward Glen is the original Hughes farm.
So that's on that.
It was 1827 when he just came there, still in his name. The Walkers lived here, Jimmy Walker. And he had a mother and two brothers. They were all raised there.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Did they own right through the 200 lot?
No, the Hughes owned just the one right land is there, the lot. See, these lot number one and lot number two, because they run lengthways.
I have the 1858. I have the sense of the assessment information from that. This shows Joel Hughes.
Yeah. Well, this is the. But then I don't know how the. Is this the second line?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That shows. That shows Moses
and Joel Hughes. I thought there was a Hughes down here on the second.
Well, not just a second. This is 1878, which is, and here's Joel Hughes here, who owns that.
That's Wilson Farm. That's this one here.
Yeah. And then they own one on the lot, in session one.
Yeah.
They owned the 100 acres there along the highway.
No, there's not any much use there. I guess that was my, see, our dad name was Joel. This would probably be his grandfather. Because I don't think her dad ever owned that one. Samuel L. was our grandfather. So I don't know where they got the two Joels, unless they were brothers.
Well, so the marsh, the marsh in those days did it come up further than it is now, like really, or is it just about the same as far as the...
This is the Matt Brandon farm. It's the one right down here at the bottom, where you go down over the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Albert Robinson's creek. There should be another farm in between there.
Here's Brandon here. Here's Brandon.
Yeah, Brandon. That's for Ronnie and Mills.
This is the corner. This is right at the corner.
Yeah,
so the five
runs right through to the third, to the second.
And there's Bannerman, Creighton, Robinson. What they show here on this is that's Thomas Brandon, and this is W.C. Branton.
Yeah.
They're both Brandon, aren't they?
Whereas I wouldn't know they were both Brandon.
See, that's 1858. That shows Brandon there and Brandon there.
Yeah. Because there was, this family, there was Tom. Tommy was a blind fellow. Maybe Ronnie Miller told the oldest.
Yeah.
Tommy was blind, and then Wesley and his brother Wesley and Maggie lived with him. Well, then the brother, Matt Brandon, was down on the corner of the five side road there that goes to the farm.
Mm-hmm.
So this Tommy was blind.
This is the farm where Matt would be. Now that's Thomas Brandon. You see, this is 1858. So Thomas may have been just like
there was in the father,
the grandfather or something like that. It's interesting to see how many times the same name keeps cropping up.
This is the Tommy Brandon I'm talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
Because we used to go back here with the horse and buggy. But the good mother and water always go over and visit old Maggie Brandon. And we visit with Wesley, who was superintendent of Sunday school for years. But this would be Matt's. Well, they're like all their fathers and Tom's. But this Tommy Brandon was blind. He always wore those little screen glasses, you know, the Easter, he always wore them. And as soon as you spoke to them, we were kids, you know, we'd go across the mother, as soon as you spoke, Tommy knew our voice. Just as sure.
Yeah, that makes better sense. What was the marsh like? When you were younger, you liked to prowl around through there and
Never got into the marsh so much because, see, by the time he died, I was born in 21 and the dredge in 25.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember one night, I would be very old. Mother took us kids to the buggy. My uncle lived in this one of these farms here. I think Wallace lived there now. So we went down and then uncle took us way back and remember going, this was at night, walking up a plank on the old barge when they were working, digging the canal. So I get up till then, I didn't, you know, I wasn't crawling around through the marsh that much. But I do remember getting on the barge that night. As I told you before, I remember one winter, all the farmers around had the horse, teams of horses there. The guys dug back in Matt Brand's right there and built the dike up on the, what's this, the north dike there, so it could go along there.
Yeah, that was a kind of a weak spot there.
Yeah.
Where it was. there's a chap who's done a book on the schools of West Gwillimbury.
I know.
And he came down and he took a picture of the house here that Jack and Bertie restored. He's got it in there as the Dunfermline School.
Oh.
And he's more or less the center part here with the, his idea was that the center part here with the shed roof height was the old school. But this, this house was built with parts from the church.
I think there was someone you mentioned, there was something about that.
Anybody live here now?
Birds are going down.
What were the main crops haven't changed that much over the years? Corn would be, I guess not too much corn, maybe 5-10 acres or something like that.
Green corn bag. I had this 160 acres here around in 1942 for 5 years. I had silage corn there. That was the first I had any corn. There was an old wooden silo on the farm.
Oats and barley and hay. Was there a...
We used to have a lot of horses, you know, 5-6 horses on 100 acres. It took a lot of grover to feed the horse.
That's right. And it's what, 10 acres or so of fall wheat?
Yeah.
That was what we used to pay the taxes.
Probably have a field of sweet clover or something. Plow, take it off for hay and plow it down for the manure.
One thing that's disappeared in even just in the last 15 years or so are the fences, aren't they?
Oh yeah.
Everybody had fences.
No.
Not anymore.
That's where the tape is used to live there before the birds.
Peggy?
Yep. John Lynn. And so we got George Lowe and then the Peggy's right. Where's you?
Mm-hmm.
But for Jack's where there's that was the Lynn farm.
Do you know of anybody that's related to the Kitleys?
Yeah, Mabel Hughes.
In Bradford?
Stan is his aunt. He left talk to me about it. But there was a...
Oh, this is...
Abernathy was her. She married an Abernathy. Well, and that Hal Kitley was Stan Hughes' mother, which was my aunt.
What we're trying to do is to try to get stories about families. See, it's no problem to get the story about your family because there's still lots of people.
Yeah.
So, okay, but we run into somebody like, and the same with the Mills, but in the Brandons now, do we know relatives? Do they still have relatives? Is there somebody who can give us a story about them? And the same thing with
Ronnie said no, there's any Brandon or
there was a family here, what is it? Karen mentioned Divot?
Yeah, well, they owned that farm.
They've got the story on them.
Jim and Devitt.
And so you're listening on the tape, that was just a car went by. Mabel Hughes.
Yeah. Her father. Her husband, Stan, was the first cousin of mine. His dad was George Hughes. And he was my dad's only brother. And they farmed together where Glenn is there now. And Uncle George went up and bought a farm up in Puerto Rico. And I lived there for a while, balance. Well, then Stan ended up running a dredge in Roth, son. And he died a few years ago there in Bradford. I don't know what Stan was. People still in our building. Mm-hmm. But their mother was a kite.
Okay. The Brandons, anybody heard any relation to any of them still around?
I don't know. It used to be a Karen, you know, the girl I'm talking about, but this little red-headed girl, red-haired girl, came to church with someone, and she was a Karen with the only diagnosis, but she was related to Mary.
We keep getting this Rogers, this Levi Rogers.
Yeah.
We as we go through it, we get these Rogers showing up all the way through West Willimer.
Well, Rogers related to Jesus, too. See, that's Rogers cemetery there in the corner of Brand's Farm. There's two cemeteries there. One's a Rogers and the other's a...
Sullivan?
Well, the Sullivan's in there now. But this Rogers, his deal with Fang, he was to this Rogers had a steel mill in Winnipeg. And he used to send Neil and Fang money to look after the cemetery down there. Well, then, after Rogers died, they buried him there, but there was nothing about it because people, they had dailies in the West Cemetery.
Mm-hmm. They keep getting, they show up as being the people who bought the land. They must have been real speculators, because they were the people who bought the land, like the first owner, and they owned it for only 2 years or 3 years, and then they rolled it over.
See, Rogers is a big name around the market, because Quakers could leave. Because Ted Rogers is supposed to be related to these Rogers.
See, that's 1858, and by 1878, that was owned by Adam Bannerman. The other interesting thing on this map are all the orchards. See?
Oh, yeah.
See, each one of these is an orchard. And nearly every farm has an orchard. Pretty did you had one farm? Orchard? You had an orchard?
Yeah, still there.
Still there. what was the main variety?
Spy is really the main brand, I guess, the way it's snow apples and russets and called an Ontario apple.
We used them. Tall and sweets?
Pick them every fall.
Harvest apples?
Yeah. Yellow transparent?
Yeah. Harvest apple. Along the crest of, this is the crest of on the other side of the hill, you're looking down onto the marsh.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard, is there an Indian trail along that crest?
Well, when you go down east to the river straight through here, there's supposed to be what they call an Indian burying ground down there. Did you ever hear tell of that?
Which whereabouts is that?
Straight across the other side of the river.
on the northeast corner of the north branch.
Yeah.
The north branch.
They always said there was a burial ground there.
That'd be right about there.
Yeah.
But what I was wondering was there a trail, like an Indian trail, on the ridge that goes along here?
Used to be when our kids go to church on Sunday morning, you take a walk and they would cry because they had two uncles who lived there, Robert Roberts, and the uncle Ron would walk and live down there too. And I used to go across through there Sunday morning and tell the visitors. I was the only one that made a trail.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just wondered because we
never heard of one there.
Well, we've heard. I mean, you hear these things, and you just wonder whether somebody's making them up, you know, in order to make a story or whatever.
Well, certainly, our family was there in 1827, so there was no memory in history.
But I see what they call the Carrying Place Trail. This is the story. You see, it came up the Humber, and then came into the marsh there just at where Weston Road comes in, that was where the Carrying Place Trail came in. Well, then there's supposedly, you see, and it comes across the Carrying Place Golf Course. But then the people came into the North Branch, into the Holland River or the Schomburg River, depending which one you want to call it, and then on out to the lake. Now the story goes that this, as you mentioned, this was an Indian burying ground on that knoll, and that's supposedly where Governor Simcoe met the Indian chief when he came up in 1793 on that trip he made up to, which finally ended up with selecting Young Street as the main goal. This was the old, this is the original mills.
Yep.
What's this, is this shed here, is it a modern chicken shed, or is this an old? Not
one of the original. One of the original buildings were left after the hurricane. The rest were all taken. The rest were all rebuilt.
Now there aren't too many original buildings on this line, are there? We've forgotten about that. The tornado went through here.
Yeah.
And kind of wiped out, changed the landscape.
Lived up on the hill there, Albert Roberts, and he's married to my dad's sister. They, two boys, two girls, but anyway, Uncle Albert, they worked this farm too. And the two boys are old hearty, and he's had three horses. And they'd come, there's some buildings right here, they'd come down here, walk down in the morning, bring the horses down, work the moon, put them in the old barn, feed them, walk up, back up the hill again, have dinner. Back down and do the same thing at night, going home. They've done that for years. No car, no nothing. You know, just walk.
We're looking here down over the valley, which leads to the north side of the fourth. That'll be what, lot four, I guess it was.
North side of the third.
North side of the third.
Big concession four, but
yeah,
north side.
Yeah. Okay. This is. I can remember this was Maynard and his alfalfa mill. When did Maynard start that operation?
I was guessing it had to be, say, in the 30s, but could be wrong. It's a long time ago.
This is Cease Maynard in Schaumburg.
Yeah.
Who was harvesting early cut alfalfa, and they were taking it and drying it, and put it into, I guess he used to make a kind of a meal with it first, and then they progressed to pellets, and for, they used the amount of what was worth, so they did that to work in 1970.
Yeah, it'd be around that, I guess, when it was done.
It was about 35, 40 years of manufacturing. It was quite an industry in Schaumburg, and it also was, you're talking about any of you who have been to a pulp mill, you know that there's a significant odor. There was a significant odor over Schaumburg when they were drying the alfalfa.
Yeah, chickens too. Yeah, the second place in Schaumburg growing small baby chicks and stuff.
But they had all, how did they harvest that alfalfa when they first started?
He built machines and all those old just for the big trucks that they they'd go ahead and swath it first, and then make a big self-built harvest and blew in the trucks and hauled it in and dumped them there on 24 hours a day.
Yeah. It was quite an operation.
Yeah.
Coming back here, and then we on one or two occasions we bought maybe 10 or 20 acres of hay from him because it got ahead of him, and so he wanted to get it cut, wanted to get it off so that he'd get the second cut, because he had to have mature hay, mature alfalfa that didn't suit his needs. He had to have fresh and light.
This is a man, he had a plant named Charlie Bates. I guess he was the first one that ever made the chicken picker, like a rubber one.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go in there if you want something for the farm or park or something. He'd say, I think I got that. And he'd just know where to go to pick that. He had stuff all over Schaumburg.
I know.
He just knew where to go to pick that up. But he was quite a genius. He built this chicken picker, plucker, and all that.
Well, he owned land and he rented land,
yeah.
And he also contracted to alfalfa fields with alfalfa as well. When did hydro come?
Well, I guess it was first came in and they had to pay for going up the line, but the balance, the second farm over the best. And Ken Holmes was on 27th Highway, and then this McDevitt firm. They were about the first one to put it in, and I'd say it was back in the late 30s. Ralph Davis and Charmer was electrician at that time, and they were in those places. But we never had hydro, and I was at home right there in 1942. I was Lowry's farm, and I Demet farm, and I had hydro then. Roy put it in our farm, I guess, about 44, 45, maybe around the person.
And the telephone was before that?
It was, yeah. Old telephone was out on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Cracker.
What was that?
It was house down there, this house. It was three layers of bricks. Now the damn people the phone on the wall because you're right on the brick wall. Those are the days when everybody knew everybody else's business if they're on the phone.
Or, well, some people made it their business to know everybody else's business too.
Yeah.
But on the phone though, you were on the Beaton phone?
Oh, Schaumburg.
You were on Schaumburg.
Okay.
And where was the dividing line between Beaton and Schaumburg?
Well, I guess basically about where it would be. No, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Tottenham, we see would be.
Because I know when we first came up, we were on the fifth there, we were on the Beaton phone.
Like, where?
Well, It was the Beaton Telephone Company, right? You know,
again, oh, yeah.
It was Bradford.
Yeah.
It was Bradford.
Beaton Telephone. That's right, because Gene's uncle was on the, Freddie Butler was on the Beaton Telephone for years and years. I don't know when it ceased, but.
Apparently, from what I've read, the Beaton had a very close association with Bell. They weren't really competitors. Bell said Bell was helping them at the last. It was like everything else. It's even as it is today. You can get to a certain point that you can look at it, looking after it at kind of a local level. But then now. People demand, like the service, one of the big problems they have in rural Ontario is that everybody wants to have these fast telephone connections so they can make the computer work. Well, the telephone service wasn't designed for that, and it's broken down. We're just looking out the windows here at the beautiful crop of goldenrod. Remember, we used to have, in the township, there used to be a real program of spraying the roadsides. And keep them all clean. And I guess used to trim them with the more too.
The township's here to get somebody spray on some flowers or crop or something. I was talking to a friend of ours from up in Bruce County, and their township celebrates half 1 year and half the next. And that's the way up in Bruce County.
Yeah.
It's terrible, the roadsides around here.
Well, even the provincial highways. You go back, we traveled this year, go down into Quebec, and everything's neat, so tidy and clean and everything else. As soon as you come into Ontario, it looks like we're poor relatives, you know.
That's what I said when we went to the family last year in Quebec, man. Everything, the roads were just as tidy as could be.
We drive along here, there's a whole new strip of the homes, and after the tornado went through, everything was topsy-turvy and twisted and upside down.
We get a lot of minutes down there. I don't know how and why. This is the start of Matt Brandon Farm.
Do you remember when there was a road down to the marsh near this farm?
I remember when there wasn't one.
There wasn't one. Well, no, but I meant there's one down. But there was a road. There was access through this farm down over the hillside.
My uncle and my next farm had a bridge across the canal too. Both these farms, they built their own bridge, but there was never access like through the public road. It was just a private.
No, but I remember talking to Gord Church. They used to come over here and go down through. No, not this one. No, the one back here.
Back there. Yeah.
This is who's it lives back here now?
Bing Wallace.
Yeah.
Is he from?
Anyway,
Marvin Walker lived there back in those days.
And there's I've got a 1946 aerial photograph, and it shows the trail down through, like from through that farm. And Gord Church said they used to come back there and go down and pick up truckloads of vegetables, and bring them back out that way.
To see when Burkites first came over from the Chatham, they used my uncle's farm there as the right of way down to when they opened there from Marshland. I remember that when they first came over, they used canary seed for trying marsh. My uncle, he thrashed it there. My uncle's quite an experience.
Canary seed.
They tried to grow it on the mines, so they just go over the
floor. What crop is that? It's called canary seed.
Yeah, back then it was.
Is it like rice?
Yeah, well, it'd be more like, I guess, what more like what you call flax today. It was a fine little wheat vine seed, they call it. They grew different crops there as they experimented with weather. Back then, when they could settle in there. Viola McMillan, she didn't get credit for getting this road down.
Mm-hmm.
Herbie, it's only him, Viola, because they never got along. And I said, well, that road should, I said, well, my father-in-law, Frank Allen, was on the council for, I don't know, 6 or 7 cents a cubic yard. They could have had the dirt moved there, but put that road down to enough councils to the north end. They said, wouldn't go for it, but ended up the way all the government supports, you got that road down there. I said to her, the other road shut down years ago because there was no access in this corner down through there at all. I said, it should have been in years and years ago. But,
My old was, made things happen.
Yeah. Brad's got a great crop of beans there.
Yes. Those are soy, too, aren't they?
Yeah. Right, so that's
Do you have any white beans?
Yeah, he's got some over there. Got some of them off, yeah.
Tricky thing. You don't get them at the right time, they all shell on you.
Yeah.
We're looking down here over the marsh.
We back around up 27, whatever you want to do, your drive.
Okay. South there on Clive Side Road down over the marsh. That's the that's an original house there.
Yeah. You know where a person just dad moved so down.
Mm-hmm.
He lived in a little house there for a long time.
He lived there?
Yeah, after he sold the farm. Was right back in there on that bank.
Just come down the hill and we're at the North Canal Bank.
I don't know what they've done with the dirt out of the hill there with it. Like, when they cut the road there down, I don't know.
Some of them may have been put in here.
Probably.
Now, this isn't an original bridge. This is a...
Harry McKite built that or not.
Now, are there any signs that you can recognize of where the bridges used to be along here?
No, I don't know.
I should have brought along the photo. I got these 1946 aerial photos of the marsh.
Oh, yeah.
And they, quite interesting. As you see, at that time they were just putting 400 through.
Be along here someplace, I guess, we moved it off the park somewhere. This is the back of the railroad firm. In Bradford, on the old river.
Yeah.
Take the skates off of the bridge and walk uptown.
Yeah.
Go around for a while and skate over again.
Yeah.
I think it's more than once they went through the ice. Like,
yeah. It's a wonder somebody didn't come up with the idea of going in and making the river, like cutting a new channel.
Yeah.
Well, to make it straight instead of it. Of course, the logistics is easily said, but it's another thing to be done.
They didn't talk of millions back then the way they do now.
Well, even $150,000, which was what the original cost was, in those days was still a lot of money.
Yeah.
That was the same.
I was a kid going to school for 27 hours, and there was two families, the Dutch people. Moved in there and they walked from here up to Dunkirk, which is quite a walk.
Mm-hmm.
Hank the Warden was one of them. He went to our place. We get warmed up and then he and I went to school. It was cold. That's quite a walk from there right up to Dunkirk. All this way straight right through and then the second thing. First farms along 27 run the other way, right through, straight under, as we always call them. I don't know why they were done that way.
The lots were, you know, they don't show there, but they're down in here now.